Okay, so have you had a good week?
I've had a good week, yes, very good week.
It's been a busy week though, hasn't it?
Yeah, sorry, a bit hectic.
Yeah, but has the news been busy as well? There's lots of stuff that people need to know about.
No, there has been no real news this week.
No, have you got anything close to real news? What's the closest you've got to real news?
There'll be big news for a lot of people this week. It's been A-level result week.
That's true.
And once again, miraculously, the number of people getting A's has risen. 26.7 now. Percentage of A-levels have been awarded the top grade.
Okay.
But next year, they're changing things up a little bit. They're going to become harder. They're going to have study each subject in more depth, longer essay-style questions, and they're introducing this new A-star grade as well. And the shocking implication of this, according to this guy called John Dunford, who is the General Secretary of the Association of School and College Leavers, and he says that the number of A-grades could go down. Results could go down. You make the exams harder and results might go down. I'll tell you exactly what he said. He said, he was asked if results could go down. He said, I think that is entirely possible.
Right.
This is shocking. Is he trying to insinuate that kids aren't actually getting cleverer and cleverer every year?
Well, who knows? It's a real conundrum. I had a look on the Times Online, because the Times do a lot of the clearing things.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a story about A-level results. And this is from a guy called Nicholas Ektop. He wrote this in the in the comment section.
Like ectopic pregnancy?
It's with a K.
Oh,
okay. So no. Although, it says, no wonder the country is in the state it's in. It's now a real economic mess. As I was looking at my daughter's 4 A's, I remembered how difficult it was for us to get a B. The country is going downwards everywhere. So,
hasn't he seen the results? The country's going upwards. Results are getting better.
But he says that in reality, everything's going down. He spelt downwards wrong. I think he probably did deserve a B, to be honest. But yeah. Imagine that as your dad.
I used to find this really annoying when I was a student, about people saying, oh, well done, you got 3 A's, but, you know, that's not hard because A-levels are a piece of piss. Because I did have to work quite hard for my A-levels.
Well,
particularly some of chemistry. That chemistry one was quite hard.
Regardless of how hard you work, it's still, you know, it's getting devalued. It's something, especially when you're a teenager, you feel annoyed.
I don't want to downplay. You know, well done to all your teenagers out there who've got A's.
Congratulations. Although, of course, there'll be some people. Not everyone did get all A's, Sam. And this is the point. So some people will be thinking, "Oh, what can I do? I don't really know where my life should go." I've got some tips for you here. There's some good stuff. You don't have to panic. There's the clearing, which is the way you can get into a university course.
Yeah, have you found some good courses?
Found some good courses. You can go and study casino operations management at the Blackpool and Fylde College.
Wow.
There's still places there. Disaster studies at Coventry University. You can still go and study that. I mean, we're never going to run out of disasters in the world.
Yeah, I'm sure there must be some universities where every degree is a degree in disaster studies.
You've got golf course studies. There's 20 different courses you can do on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not golf courses. 20 different avenues of study.
There ought to be like 18 or something.
Indeed. Tableware design, that should be good. My personal favourites are wine studies or laser engineering, just because I think it sounds good.
I did a wine studies degree.
Did you?
Not really. It doesn't say that on my certificate.
That was your minor.
Yeah.
Your major was in biology, biological science, but your minor was in wine studies. I went for beer studies, but you know, it's about personal favourites. Other big news this week. Actor in swine flu ad catches swine flu. This was a real big news story.
I didn't hear about that.
Oh, it's tragic. Have you seen the adverts for the swine flu?
No.
You know, there's a lad in the lift and he sneezes. He sneezes the wrong way all over the place and then starts pressing the lift buttons and the germs get
I have clearly haven't been watching enough TV lately.
Oh, you've missed it. Then they do another one where he sneezes and catches it in a tissue. And then at the end they say, catch it, bin it, kill it.
Yeah, my dad has been trying to train me into the sneezing into my shoulder routine for years. And it has eventually worked.
Yeah. So I saw you give a half-hearted attempt at that today. I don't think you really made it. I think your dad would have given you 6.0 for that. you sort of half-heartedly sneezed at your shoulder, but it wasn't really into your shoulder.
Well, sometimes they come along too quickly, and you know, you don't have time to get your nose into your shoulder.
No, I watched you going for it. I think you had time to adjust, but obviously you were distracted. This guy,
I'm perfect.
This guy is called David McCusker, and he's it says actor. I guess so. He said, I quarantined myself and I've been getting lots of grief from mates. I was supposed to catch it, bin it, kill it, but instead I've been shivering, shaking and spreading it. Then after it says, about 36 in the UK have died from the virus. Here's the ad. So there you go, that's nice and jolly. So there you go.
You came up with an alternative version of catch it.
No, I didn't. I said, it's catch it, bin it, kill it is good, but it's never going to replace the pick it, lick it, roll it, flick it, which really swept the nation during the mid-90s.
Yeah, but we really don't want to encourage that kind of behaviour. That's not right out these days.
The government has really tried to stamp that out. A very expensive campaign to stop people from doing all of those different things. I mean, they want to cut it out at the depicking stage.
Catching.
If you've picked it, then the rolling, that's a no-no.
Yeah.
And then the flicking it, it's just I think you can get an antisocial behaviour order for that, so you
probably
really shouldn't do that.
Probably. So yeah, we mentioned drink, and there's been a survey of 2,000 drinkers for this was a government.
How did they find those? Is this in Britain?
Yeah, apparently they found all of these in Britain. But this is kind of surprising. 58% did not realise that. Well, you know, lots of people notice that you know, sometimes after a night's drinking, you don't sleep that well.
Yeah.
But 58% of people didn't realise that sleep problems could be caused by drinking too much.
Go figure.
Now this is fairly. I don't know. That's quite surprising. Last night I had 3 pints. That's too many. That's more than the 4 units that I should have, and I regret it because I didn't sleep very well. And I suffered the consequences today. I was feeling very lethargic.
Did you have any dreams at all?
I'm sure I did. I tend to forget dreams very quickly. If good thing Martin Luther King doesn't suffer from the same problem. Or else,
that's true. I think he was teetotal, so that's good.
Probably. Yeah, sounds like him.
Yeah, well, he had a controversial life. But let's not bring Martin Luther King down.
Yeah, no.
He was a good guy. Again, so that's pretty... I saw a similar story reported somewhere, and you were thinking, yeah... You know, if you drink a lot of alcohol, your sleep won't be as good. Otherwise, hangovers wouldn't be such a problem, I suppose. Mm. But more drinking news. I mean, it can be quite hard to mobilise people in the fight against climate change and these other abstract things that we have to worry about.
Yeah.
But you think, oh, people aren't really interested. And so the French have come up with a novel way to sort of get the message they're pushing this week is that... the best wines will come from Scotland if climate change is not stopped. Prominent French chefs have given this warning that the country's wine will lose its complexity and the best produce will come from Scotland if the effects of climate change are not tackled. Which I can imagine is that's one way to mobilise.
That's going to really scare people, you know.
You've got to know your public and really work.
I mean, even for English people, that would work quite well. And we don't have a great wine growing tradition ourselves, but that's one of the things that we in Britain stand to gain something from climate change. We can, we can afford to be a degree warmer.
Well, if Scotland can, you know, kick off a wine industry, then their dependency on us will go down, which is always good.
Yeah, but even if that happens, will Scottish people want to drink wine?
Don't think they're too fussy. Oh, this is turning into a bashing thing, so we don't want that. Okay,
no.
According to the Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, there are now 416 vineyards in England, and there are 2,732 acres of vines under cultivation, which is an increase of 45% in the past 4 years. Julie Trustram Eve from English Wine Producers said, "There are, as far as we know, no vines yet in Scotland, although there have been rumours. It's gradually creeping up. It depends how accurate the predictions are for the long term, but some say by 2080 it'll be too hot to grow grapes in southern England." So that sounds good.
Yeah,
that might
the
even still be alive
in
2080, maybe. And it'll be too hot to grow grapes.
So the threat of Scotland having great wine, that's more of a concern for French people. We can conclude from that. That's more of a concern for French people than the billions of people who could become refugees because of flooding in, you know, the Ganges area, and in Shanghai. Shanghai stands to be completely flooded.
Yeah, but let's be honest, I mean, that's going to be a pretty depressing world we live in. You're going to need some wine to take the edge off it. So
yeah, so good thing it's getting warmer in Britain as well. Good, okay.
Yeah, this, I mean, another thing that's been coming up this week, I mean, the internet, a lot of stuff had been on the interwebs recently campaigning that there should be a a change to the drug policy in America, and we have a kind of similar one in this country.
Mm-hmm.
The idea is that it hasn't proved to be particularly effective, in that, you know, America has the highest rate of drug use and crime related to drugs of any country. So there's been this big push recently. Some police officers have put together this thing. These guys, Peter Moskos is a professor at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, and Neil Franklin's a 32-year-old law enforcement veteran, and they both served as police officers in Baltimore. And yeah, so they're joining this big campaign to say that we should re-look at the drug laws, mm-hmm. and because prohibition on drugs leads to unregulated and violent public drug dealing, and drug users aren't generally violent. Most of them just want to be left alone to be getting high. It's the dealers who terrify the neighbours and invite rival attacks and stuff like this. But yeah, I mean,
what are these policemen doing?
So they're saying that we should stop it and basically legalise it, so that you can have regulation and control of it, because it doesn't work simply saying, because everyone is on, well, not everyone, but there's a load of people on drugs.
Everyone is on drugs.
Well, you know, to some extent. But, you know, that the fact is that there are a lot of people.
What kind of crowds are you hanging in, man? I'm concerned.
That's true. I thought you were high now. I think just the way it's currently operating is not really a very effective system. And the amount of trouble it causes in drug-producing countries as well and other things. It's a real legal nut. But the people trying to push for this now, Obama can't even get people to respond to his plans to make them healthier. So the idea that we'll put the public healthcare plans on the back burner for a minute
and let everyone take as many drugs as they want. Yeah, it's not going to go. I don't think it's going to go down really well.
The conservatives have managed to say that healthcare is a really bad thing.
Yeah,
you know, trying to make people healthy is really they've turned this into death panels and your grandma's going to be killed.
Orwellian state control.
So what they can say to legalising drugs, I mean, it doesn't bear thinking about. So
no.
I mean,
I think they're probably that's a losing fight they're fighting. But I've read some pretty good arguments in favour of legalising drugs recently. I can't remember what they all are, but
it seems like, I mean, if you have to look at the arguments for the current system and see how ineffective it is.
Mm.
But yeah, you know, it's not easy.
I heard that there's been the Americans people have found out that they've been covering up big reports that have, you know, tried to, I think World Health Organization reports even, that are trying to say that actually, you know, maybe legalizing drugs could do a lot of good, but they don't want people to hear about this.
It's a really big issue that needs to be maturely talked about, but inevitably won't be maturely
suppressing
talked about.
Suppressing evidence is not really the way forward.
So there you go. But that was an interesting story that popped up this week for me.
Other public health issues. The obesity epidemic shows no sign of abating, and the latest consequences of this can be seen on the Sao Paulo Metro. Take a look at these seats that they've installed. They've got new extra fat seats.
On the end of the... four normal seats and then one extra fat seat on the end.
And if you look at the photo carefully, those four normal seats are being supported by one pillar. And the fat seat has two pillars. These special chairs...
Sam, it's all well and good putting the seat there. You've got to have the infrastructure to support
it. Exactly. No,
it's the whole...
I'm just saying that this is they clearly put a lot of thought into these designs. These extra fat chairs can support even the bulkiest passenger up to 550 pounds without breaking. 550 pounds. How much is that in?
550 pounds. I don't even know.
In stones or
work this out before.
I should have worked it out before.
Pounds. What's a pound? Pound is how many ounces?
Okay.
I think. In a pound?
I think. Carry
the one.
14 ounces in a pound.
14 ounces in a pound.
Yeah.
But I don't. How do you
know?
Yeah. Stone.
No. 14. Pounds in a stone.
Right.
It's 20 ounces in a pound. That's what it is.
Okay.
I think. Why are you trying to convert this to ounces? That's even more confusing.
Well, you should have converted this already.
550 pounds, I think that equates to roughly one fat mother.
Mother. Okay. Well, my issue with this is, so they've got like four white seats,
mm-hmm.
and then one evil red seat. It looks like a red
seat. It's actually blue.
Oh, it's blue. Well, it shouldn't be
this
a different
black
colour.
And white. I should point out, Tom is not actually colour blind.
Or well, I am an idiot, but no, they should have the same colours. I mean, it's only to point out. I mean, I guess, to be honest, if you're sitting in that seat, you're not going to be able to see the seat, are you?
Yeah, but there is also a sign above each seat that shows a cartoon of a fat
no
person
way.
Saying, priority chair for obese people. But apparently people aren't using them. The fat okay. people don't want to sit in the fat chair.
Is that what it's all about? Getting fat people to sort of stand up a bit more and walk around a bit rather than sit down?
Probably it.
Shame them into... I suppose, why don't they just put spikes on it and, you know, I don't know, a cake on the ceiling? What are they doing?
One manager insightfully said, it may be that they don't want to think of themselves as fat or they resent being put in with pensioners and the disabled.
Wow. On a similar note... come across a great story this week. This is actually in New Scientist. Photos of cake can keep you slim, say psychologists. Apparently, yeah, photos of cake can really deliver the goods for you if you're trying to lose weight.
How does that work?
Well,
you eat photos of cake instead of cake.
In fact, yeah, there's a lot less calories in photos of cake than there are in actual cake. So, no, I think they're going to do another test into that, but I think that's probably makes sense. To test out the theory, Fleur Kruse from the Utrecht University in the Netherlands.
Kruse?
Like K-R-O-E-S.
Like someone who wanders around Hampstead Heath kind of Kruse?
Not quite that type of Kruse. She asked 54 female students to look at a picture of cake or a flower under the guise of a memory test. The researchers then questioned the students about any plan to eat more healthily and offered them a choice between a chocolate or an oatmeal cookie. Women showing the cake gave a higher priority to their healthy intentions than their counterparts showing the flour. They were more likely to pick the oatmeal cookie.
So how does this work then? Is it people who see cake kind of feel guilty?
This is the
make
theory.
Them feel guilty already. Whereas if you look at a flower, you think, "Ooh, that's a vegetable. I've done my vegetables for today. I'm allowed some cake."
I think that's basically the mechanism. That they haven't pinpointed an area of the brain that doesn't
quite work that out.
But my main argument is they only asked 54 female students, so. It's not really a great population study.
No.
You could ask 54 different people where they wanted cake, regardless of what things they looked at, and, you know, you'd find a variance there. But I think I'm with you, actually. Eating photos of cake, well, I'm willing to guarantee this, actually, that is definitely less calories in photos of cake than there are in cake.
There you go.
But I wouldn't...
Paper cut top tip.
Tip of the week, but don't eat photograph paper, because it's probably bad for you.
It's probably quite bad for you, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe don't do that. What's going on with our sponsors this week? Do we have a sponsor this week?
Yeah, we've got a sponsor this week.
Mm-hmm.
He said he would pay us based on the enthusiasm that we give, which is it's changing the model of the thing.
Ooh,
so
that's not the way we set out the sponsorship deal.
No, but let's try.
Okay.
So his website is stareatthesky.com. Uh-huh. He's a very talented graphic
what
designer.
What does this website do, Tom?
There you can go and get graphic design and buy t-shirts.
You
that
can
don't
be
exist
much
yet.
More enthusiastic than that.
Ooh, stare at the sky. Sky. I like sky. Do you like sky?
I love sky.
I love sky too. Let's stare at that sky. StareAtTheSky.com. That's beautiful. So he's going to have to give us at least 20p for that. But if you do want to sponsor the show, give us some money, and you can do that. Go on the Facebook group and you can sign up to us.
Yes.
There's
a caption competition that's been going for like 2 weeks and no one's entered.
I'm going to claim the winner of that one because I have the best one.
Okay, what was your caption?
So there's a picture of Kim Jong-il sat next to Bill Clinton and they're looking quite awkward amongst each other. This is when Bill Clinton went over to North Korea to go and speak with Kim Jong-il and they both sat there looking really awkward. And mine was, my caption was, Bill's looking he's a bit disgruntled. And it says, yeah, when Obama sent me to meet petite Asian called Kim, this is not what I was expecting. It was slightly better than that. But I've treated myself to a box set of The Wire.
We're not going to see you again for like a month.
No, I'm not going to watch it until later. But everyone says I have to. I haven't seen any of it yet.
People, it's apparently very addictive. But I haven't watched it either.
Okay, so other things that have been going on this week. There's a guy, an apostrophist.
Apostrophist.
He's not really an apostrophist. He's a 62.
What is that? One of the degrees you can do on clearing?
Wow.
Apostrophism.
That's pretty impressive. No, he's actually an accountant. He was frustrated by living in St John's Close in Tunbridge Wells, but there was no apostrophe after John. He's a former soldier.
I've noticed that King's Cross as well doesn't have an apostrophe.
I mean, it's terrible.
Where are they all going? They keep getting removed. I think Barclays Bank have abandoned the apostrophe in Barclays as well.
Probably, yeah. Well, it's shocking. I mean, I'm surprised we can barely keep it together as a country. But yeah,
we're not keeping it together as a country. That's the source of all our woes.
Absolutely. So he thinks that you should stand up for these things and the language is worth fighting for. He says that everything is dumbed down now and that's a problem. He had an argument, though. Someone else on his road says that the post office will not deliver to the street if you put an apostrophe in the address.
What?
Yeah, I don't think that can be true.
No, there's a, somebody in the Guardian had a go at Hollywood this week for their war on the English language or on English.
Is this after Inglourious Basterds?
This is not to do with Inglourious Basterds. This is to do with The Time Traveller's Wife. I don't know if you've seen posters for this film. It's been on buses
and
stuff.
I've seen posters, yeah.
Have you noticed... anything struck you about the name of this film?
Well, what struck me was I came up with a good crossword clue, something to do with Eric Banner being not applicable, resulting in banana. But that wasn't what you were asking for.
That wasn't what I was asking.
That did inspire me from that film poster. So.
Good, okay.
So they don't have... there's no apostrophe after traveller, is there?
No, there is an apostrophe.
Okay.
But what it's missing is the second L in traveller.
Oh, no.
Because Americans like to spell words like traveller, travelling, signalling, okay. Controlling. They like to spell them with only one L.
We shouldn't be bowing to that in this country, though.
Exactly. So when we put the posters up in this country, surely you'd expect them to use a British spelling. Same with films like Pearl Harbor, that appeared on posters with the spelling H-A-R-B-O-R.
That's a bit different.
Why is that different? Oh, it's a place name. Okay, yeah, fair enough. But The Time Traveller's Wife, there's no excuse for that.
That's true. There certainly isn't, because, you know... There's no any accuracy in time travel. Maybe,
Some other examples of films. The Colour of Money, the 1986 Scorsese film, spelt colour the American way.
Yeah.
Crimes and Misdemeanors, 1989 Woody Allen film, Misdemeanors, is missing a U. Neil LeBute's Your Friends and Neighbours in 1998, also missing a U. Yes, Hollywood are waging a war on our language. Laura Barton in The Guardian says... truly there are days when it's hard not to believe that America hasn't launched a stealth war against us, and that by this time next year we'll have become a fully air-conditioned outcrop of the American Empire with Cheetos on tap and meatloaf on the stereo.
Wow. I'm
strong feelings, but probably justified.
Absolutely.
We feel.
Other shocking news this week. The London paper is set to close. This has come out today.
Oh, no.
Exactly. You know, we're all... You often have a minute's silence or a minute's applause even when something dies, but that sound you just made is pretty symptomatic of how little anyone should really worry about this. But
there's still the London Light. They're still around, right?
Yeah, don't panic, man.
So there is still a really shoddy paper that you can read for free on your...
So for anyone that doesn't know, the London paper is like a free newspaper that they give out every day on the tube, and they basically... We talked about this before, because it's quite scary. They like thrust these newspapers at you, because basically their job is to get rid of them, and I actually think they are not allowed to go home until all of the newspapers are gone. I don't know. That's the way it seems like, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, this is going to mean an end to the turf war between the London Light and the London paper. Yeah. The London Light has won out, I guess.
Well, I'm sure they'll be done soon anyway. But this is what I don't understand. It says the paper will continue publishing for a month while News International consults with 60 staff members. Now...
News International, that's Murdoch's company, isn't it?
That's Murdoch's company.
And so they own London paper.
They own the London paper.
Mm-hmm.
But they've got 60 staff members. This is what I don't understand. They must have hundreds... They can't be talking about the people on the street, because they've got hundreds, if not thousands.
Hundreds of those, yeah.
And they can't take 60 people to come up with that level of low-grade journalism. So what's going on here? There's not double figures of staff producing that news. That's why they've gone out of business. They're wasting too much money.
They must have, like, probably... They're probably not all journalists. Well, they probably have one or two journalists.
One or two.
But they're probably, you know, 50 of them are people in marketing, advertising, all these kinds of areas.
Well, they eventually had to agree to install recycling bins because of the amount of papers that were being left around everywhere that weren't there before.
The London paper, they build themselves as very green, don't they? They have a little green page in their thing, and
I don't know
what their real credentials are, but
they said apparently the equivalent 120 tons of paper, the equivalent of 1,920 trees, have been collected via the recycling scheme. Or have been wasted on a load of old shite. It sort of depends which way you want to look at it. I mean, it's hard to say.
There are two sides to every coin. Okay, I've been on Ananova this week, your favourite news site. It was the first time I've looked at it, actually. And there are some great stories on there. This is one about a Chinese man who stole a motorbike. He works as an assembly line worker in a motorcycle factory in Chongqing, and he stole a bike. But what's remarkable about it is that he stole it bit by bit over a period of 5 years.
But he still got busted for it.
He got busted because police pulled him up and discovered he had no driving license or paperwork for the bike. He admitted to stealing
it. He didn't nick the paperwork.
He was fined the equivalent of £440, put on probation for a year, and ordered to return the motorcycle for the factory. But ingenious work, the whole...
Well, it's a good effort. You've got to admire that. On a similar... Well, no, have you got some more Anna Nova?
I have some more great Anna Nova stories. The German police officer arrested his 5-year-old daughter for playing too roughly with his son, and then he charged her for giving him the finger.
For giving him the finger?
She gave him the finger.
Right. Sounds like he's running a very good home.
Oh, God. Yeah, and what else do we have? We talked a few weeks ago about, it was a while back now actually, the criminal who was arrested in the middle of his haircut, and we put a picture on our Facebook group of this guy. He looked quite ridiculous. Yeah. But a woman in Serbia started attacking her hairdresser, had to be dragged away by police because she was so unhappy with her haircut.
Wow. What haircut she gone for?
Well, they'd given her a perm, and
apparently
she didn't want curly hair. A police spokesman said, "We got a call from the shop where we thought that there was a criminal in there attacking the staff, but instead what we found when we got there was an extremely angry lady who was unhappy with her hairdo. Our officers have to deal with some very strange situations before, but none of us can remember anything like this." The shop owner, Nevena Zivkovic, said, "I'm still in shock. She just went wild. If she was that unhappy, she could have just said, and we would have refunded her money."
Wow.
Have you ever had a really bad haircut you've been very unhappy with?
Every haircut I have is bad. I've never had a good haircut.
Have you ever responded like this?
No, I just... Because I can't tell them what I want. So I go in there, sit down, they're like, "All right, what do you want?" I'm like, "Well, I don't really know."
Yeah, I'm the same.
It's if like, I was going...
Just cut my hair. Yeah. Just cut it. Make it shorter.
If I was going to the mechanics, I'm not like, I want you to do this to my car. It's like, the car's broken, you got to fix it.
Yeah, you expect them to have some expertise.
Yeah, that's what they're there to do.
That's what you mean.
But no, every haircut I have is bad. And
I guess you probably could if you spent more on your hair. How much do you normally pay for a haircut?
Usually about sort of £10 to £15 is probably the most I want to spend on a haircut, really. I went and got my haircut by Mr. Ben last time. I think he did a good job.
Mr. Ben?
Yeah, Mr. Ben in Ealing. Mm-hmm. But you were saying you've only ever had one type of haircut. Do you think maybe you should try and branch out from that?
What would you suggest?
Well, I think a perm. I think
a perm. I don't think my hair would really.
Of course, it would. Any hair will perm if you treat it right.
You know. Okay.
You should grow it long. I want to see you grow it really long. That'd be good.
It's long enough as it is.
No, it isn't. Well, is that the longest you ever had it?
No, it's been longer than that. The trouble is, it gets really, really thick. This is incredibly thick.
We're heading winter. You can save on heating bills if you do that. Right. I've got a good little story here. This is about you've all heard of pickpockets, I'm assuming. Well, London's suffering from another phenomenon, put pockets.
What pockets?
Put pockets.
Put pockets. People putting stuff in your pockets.
Yeah.
Stuff they don't want. These good Samaritans
It's good Samaritans. Aware that people are suffering the economic crisis, former pickpockets have turned over a new leaf and are now trawling London's tourist sites, slipping money back into unsuspecting pockets.
This is not real. Somebody is making this up.
No. Anything from £5 to £20 notes are being surreptitiously deposited in unguarded pockets or open handbags.
People don't go around giving people £20 notes.
It's steady. It's being done by broadband provider TalkTalk, saying it wants to brighten up people's lives in unusual ways. So there you go. Mm. Apparently they're going to give £100,000 away. So who knows about that?
Well, you've got to be careful about giving.
That's just my excuse if I try and pick it. But I was just trying to put something there. It's a convenient excuse.
Yeah, you've got to be careful about being a good Samaritan, though, doing good deeds. This guy in Germany, he was flagged down while he was driving home from work one day by a man who asked him to take his desperately ill wife to hospital in Hamburg. When a treatment finished, and he signed a registration form when he got there on her arrival, and didn't realise that it committed him to paying any of the fees that she couldn't pay. So he was handed a £6,000 bill for her treatment.
That's pretty unfortunate. That's a reward for helping people out, is it?
No. And this is what could happen to this could happen all the time in America.
If
the Conservatives don't let Obama, push through his healthcare reforms. Exactly. The guy said, I didn't expect her not to pay anything. I'm just an ordinary man who did someone a favour.
Well, I've certainly learned a valuable lesson this week.
Never be nice to anyone.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you're always going around helping people out in the tube and stuff.
I know.
You want to learn.
Absolutely. Should we have a bit of Wong's Bongs?
Yes.
Bongs. Bongs. That's good. We'll keep that. Okay.
Bong.
Taser fails to fell serial naked doorbell ringer.
Bong.
Pensioner to sue Tesco after being hit by falling pineapple.
Bong.
World's largest cupcake unveiled in Detroit.
Bong.
Transvestite cult baffles religious leaders.
Bong.
Father develops cleaning obsession after cornea transplant.
Bong.
Bin men refuse to empty wheelie bin containing apples.
Bong.
Buskers who only know two songs given asbos.
Bong.
Bald penguin given wetsuit to prevent sunburn.
Bong.
That's it for this week.
Wow, I've read a few stories about tasers. What was that story about tasers?
Yeah, taser fails to fell serial naked doorbell ringer. He wouldn't be put off by a taser or... Right.
I saw a story about a guy who got in a fight with an opossum and was...
With an opossum?
Opossum, yeah.
What the hell's that?
An opossum is... I think it's a kind of marsupial.
Okay, I thought it was opossum, not opossum.
That's a different thing.
Okay.
Opossum is different from an opossum.
Right, okay.
Okay. So this guy got into a fight with an opossum.
Right.
And he was taken away... I think police took him to hospital, in fact. And then he got in a fight with the police, and he had to be tasered. But also there was a story about the statistics about taser usage by police in this country. And I think Northumberland police came top of the taser use league. I'm not sure that's such a great honour, but yeah.
Good work.
And other news. Conservationists trying to get animals to mate in captivity, they often have to, you know, it's quite difficult a lot of the time.
It's a tough gig.
These guys in Sea Life London Aquarium, they've been trying to get this guy called Zorro, 6-year-old zebra shark, to mate with a single shark called Mazawabi. But they haven't been having much luck. So guess what they're trying.
It's a tricky one. Maybe My Heart Will Go On from the Titanic.
It's a good chat.
Musical.
They are choosing to play romantic music. That's the thing. They're going with things like Barry White's "Baby, We Better Try to Get It Together."
And they're going with the Love Walrus.
Exactly, the Love Walrus.
That's brilliant.
And of course, Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye.
Naturally.
As you would. Zorro has something of a reputation as a ladies' shark, says Paul Hale, the curator. And as Mazawabi has been single for a number of years, we thought they could get it together really quickly. But it's been months since their first introduction, and although there are certainly signs that Zorro has been making advances, we would have expected some serious mating by now.
Serious mating?
Not just casual mating.
That is a polite way of
serious
putting it.
Mating. But yeah, so
that's
so
one of the most Googled search items. So we're kind of running out of time, but let's rush through some stuff. Gordon Brown, he's been slated in the Times this week for not being able to relax while he's on holiday, and that he's too serious. They're saying he's been wearing a tie every day of his holiday. On Saturday, he was watching Wraith Rovers Drew Tool with his Dundee purple tie on. On Monday, he did an interview about climate change in a blue stripy tie. Today he was at memorial service, wore a red tie, and so they're saying he's wearing
the Times
too many
are slating
ties.
Him. Was this in an editorial? Did they?
This was by James Glossop. I don't know whether this was. I think this is front page stuff. I didn't read the actual paper. But on Saturday, he's coaching sport at a local school, and
he's
got
coaching sport. What?
You know, you got to feel sorry for these poor kids. First, you got to go into school on a Saturday. But wait, don't worry, guys. You've got a special sports coach coming in. He's a big name. One of the greatest managers since Brian Gunn briefly spriffed it in the start of the mighty Norwich City. That's right, you can learn to play tennis with Gordon Brown. It's not even Prescott giving croquet lessons. It's not even that. So that's disappointing. Those poor kids.
Yeah, I really can't imagine that he's particularly good at any of those things.
No, absolutely.
I mean, I don't like to judge a book by its cover, but... Anyway, Thorpe Park. We may have seen the Alden Towers. I think we discussed this. They brought in some new rules, and that worked quite well for the publicity for them. So Thorpe Park are also bringing in some new rules. When the temperature goes above 25 degrees, visitors will not be allowed to raise their arms on roller coasters because of BO. They're putting people off with their BO. But I think if you can smell the person next to you, then the roller coaster is not going fast enough.
Yeah, good point.
You should be getting a good, you know, movement of air.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have thought it would be an issue, but apparently it is. This guy Brendan Walker is an aeronautical engineer and a theme park ride thrillologist. I believe they're offering a degree course, bachelor's courses in Anglia Ruskin or somewhere. Apparently he says that when people are scared, they produce more sweat due to the sympathetic nervous system kicking in. So that's why.
Well, that's good.
This is why it's an issue.
I've got a story here. The world's first Muslim superheroes, the 99, are headed for British television screens. They each possess one of Allah's 99 attributes, including a burqa-clad woman named Bettina the Hidden. I don't think she's going to be one of the best ones. They're being brought to British television by Endemol, the production company behind such illustrious shows as Big Brother, Only Fools on Horses, There's Something About Miriam, the reality TV show where straight men unknowingly try to win the affections of a transsexual, Golden Balls, and Take the Cake, with a mission to instill Islamic values in children across all faiths. So that's exciting. We've got that to look forward to.
Okay. A guy who had a kidney transplant and that turned him into a gifted painter after his kidney transplant has credited his new kidney with his artistic talent. He says people inherit personality traits. It's a fact.
That's true. The same as the guy with the cornea transplant. A goldfish survives being flushed down a lavatory, rescued from sewage plants. They've described him as being, this is one lucky little fish. I am not convinced that's the case.
Okay. Have you ever been refused entry to a club or a pub because of what you're wearing?
Yes.
This guy was not allowed in because he was wearing sweatpants in Sweden. And what he did was he ran after a passerby, that tackled him and removed his jeans, stole his jeans, took his own trousers off, and he was arrested.
It's inevitable if you're going to ban people from tracksuit trousers in.
This thing is
they've got the running
advantage. It's going to happen, isn't it?
It's inevitable.